October to not have black as the primary color of hope this time.
To be fair, you know, we get enough black by people just wearing it.
Yeah, just the t-shirts everywhere. It's plenty of black for the conference.
Yeah. So what did you go with?
What we went with was not necessarily a color scheme, but it was the vibe of... I really liked the badges and some of the graphics, and especially the website from H2K2, which was very, very techno-graphic kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, blue lines on white background or blue lines on black background, just kind of really bright Tron-looking stuff, circuitry and stuff, which is really cool. And so we took that and we added Art Deco, and we were looking at turn of the 20th century stuff.
Like the rooms are named after Nikola Tesla, Ada Lovelace,
Alexander Graham Bell, yeah. Samuel Morse. Yeah. And we were looking at, well, the Art Deco stuff, we were looking at Fritz Lang's Metropolis as an inspiration.
Which has finally been pieced together back into its original form and re-released this year after
decades. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really excited to see it. And actually, if you look at the inside back cover of the program, the map of the 18th floor, the background is the robot's face from Metropolis.
Right, yeah.
And we also pulled in from the World's Fair images, like the 1939 New York World's Fair poster. We copied the poster, almost an exact trace of that poster for the Hope 2010 poster. We went black and white. Theirs was gorgeous watercolor that we just couldn't replicate.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sleeping. It's been another Slice of Statler, and now to return you to your regularly scheduled program.
If you're unsure, just take your time. I want to be yours if you want to be
This is Red Hack. I'm surrounded here in the Radio Statler studio, which is not our usual meeting place.
Should we explain what we're doing?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. I'm surrounded by some familiar faces and some that we don't get to see as often. I'm joined here by Mike.
Hi.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good afternoon.
Junes, who never comes into the studio.
Hi.
Mitch Altman.
Hello.
And to my right, not in Philadelphia, Bernie S.
Greetings from New York.
Wait, I didn't think you were a real person.
I'm now no longer a figment of your imagination, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Not only am I in New York, but I'm at Hackers on Planet Earth, the next hope in New York.
This is what brings us all together tonight, in fact. I believe we're trying to get Emmanuel on the phone, although I don't know if we're successful at that. Hello? All right, well, maybe he'll get patched in. Anyway, we're still trying. All right. Anyway, but we're here at Hope. We've been hanging out for now almost 2 days, right? Some of us more. I mean, I guess some of you did set up, yeah. And Emmanuel?
Emmanuel's there.
Oh, hello.
I heard a rumor that we have Emmanuel, but it appears to be but a rumor for now.
Anyway, No, we're here. We're here at Hackers on Planet Earth, which is obviously the... Oh, there we go. Hello?
Is that Emmanuel?
I think it is. This is far less professional than our usual broadcasts. We don't have control over anything, though.
It's very professional. Well, we should explain that this is a special program. We already explained that.
Right. We're at Hope. We're at Hope, which is the biennial conference in New York.
I have an important question.
On my 2600. Yeah.
Can I curse because we're not on WBAI?
I believe.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we can.
All right.
We're
right.
And we're here doing different things, all of us. Bernie, I think you're busy doing the radio, right? The ham radio.
A bunch of stuff. Yeah. Well, we have an amateur radio station, N2H. It's our call sign from the FCC, and we've contacted people from different continents, and it's a lot of fun. So, and then tomorrow morning at from 10 to 1, we're offering FCC examinations for people that want to be licensed amateur radio operators. So that's good. But there's so many things going on here. That's just one of many things.
I'm just curious. What's the farthest country you've reached?
I think somewhere in South America. I forget what country it was. It was the South American continent.
Did they know what we were doing? Did you tell them?
This was actually a radio teletype contact.
Huh.
We didn't tell them, you know, the old, in the movies you hear this kind of sound. That's a radio teletype, and you can, you basically, like, it's like ICQ, only it's been around for 75 years.
Right.
And it's over the air instead of over the internet. And no, we just couldn't think it confirmed our contact, and they might not have even spoken English, but when you're typing back and forth, just very simple abbreviations like hams do when they're typing and using Morse code, there's not a lot of time for explanation, but anyhow.
Cool.
Do you have a rough estimate of how many QSL cards you're sending out so far?
Dozens.
Oh, and say what a QSL card is.
Oh,
yes.
QSL cards, I think we talked about this last week on the show, on the radio, but... Yeah, a QSL card is like a regular postcard, except it has a picture of your amateur radio station, oftentimes with the operator sitting behind the controls of all this radio stuff and microphones and things. And when you establish contact with another ham radio operator, tradition is, for many decades, is you mail them confirmation that they've contacted you, and there's information written on the postcard underneath the picture, like their call letters of your station, and... the time and the date and the frequency and how what the quality of the signal was, which was a good...
Hey, guys, you have Emmanuel.
He's back. Emmanuel?
There's rumors that we can now talk to Emmanuel.
Still don't hear him.
I'll keep saying that these rumors exist every time. There's a voice. I don't know if the voice in my ear goes out over the radio or not.
I think it does.
Anyways, we're at Hope, so let's talk about what we've been doing. It's been a lot of fun. There's, what, 3,300 people here? 3,300 geeks?
Have you exceeded
3,000? Yeah, it's a little high.
Wow. Yeah? Okay, so anyways, somewhere plus or minus 3,000 geeks, some of the more creative, friendly, interesting folks sharing and teaching and learning from one another.
It's always interesting, actually. Just 5 minutes ago, the experiences kind of that you have and the people that you meet, I was just... Junes and I have been doing
What is this stuff?
I think it's Emmanuel's equivalent of you. trying to get through a really bad cell connection.
So he would probably have Emmanuel on the phone, but he doesn't know that his phone is in his pocket.
Something like that. But anyway.
I
think it's interesting because you kind of get to meet people and talk to them, and that's what I find my favorite. I'm sure I'll say this again on Wednesday. That's my favorite part of these kinds of conferences. So Junes and I have been doing registration primarily, and I was just hanging out there, and we were on our way up here, and someone sitting there just struck up a conversation with me, and we started talking, and said, oh, you should come to my talk tomorrow, and I said, that sounds great, and it ended up being this guy. I was going to go see his talk, and you know Gweeds, he does the food talks.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this is awesome, and then we chatted for a little bit, which is why Junes beat me up here. But it was, you know, and you just get to kind of talk to people and connect, and that's my real favorite thing about this kind of thing, which is why I do it here, and why, you know, we travel abroad, and you know. And if you're not here, you should just come now, because you're missing out.
There's a lot of what I call synchronicity going on here. You run into people that you have some common thread with. You run into almost everybody that you have some common thread with. And or you're interested in something that you're working on, some project. And this is just one huge amalgam of synchronicity going on with thousands of people. I love it.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. I just got back from my... my main talk here at the conference is about how to bring a project from a mere idea into reality and hopefully make a living off of doing what you love. And there's so many people in the audience who've been trying to make a living on their projects and have experienced many things that I have.
Yes, I had them. And it was, I really don't have much time.
One second, Mix. We have Emmanuel for at least a brief amount of time. Do you have any comments to make, or do you just want to say hi?
For me?
Yeah. We've been talking about the conference.
I'm just walking back into the hotel after walking around the block a couple of times. I mean, it's going really, really well. It's interesting. A lot of people here, a lot of fun and adventures, and it's not too late if you haven't made it down here yet. We've got all kinds of talks coming up. We've got Club Monte. We've got the Lydia Statler and the Logtech Village. And I'm sure stuff you've all gone over, but it's a great way to not get any sleep over a weekend.
Yeah.
Plenty of Club Monte.
Yeah, keep you going.
I'm going to be over by the new book, the Dear Hacker book, doing some book signings for the next few minutes or so. And it's going to be very noisy there since I walked up there, so I'm not sure I'll be able to hear you after that.
All right, well, we can continue on without you, but we figured it would be not an off the hook if you didn't at least make an appearance.
Yeah, well, here I am. And right now I got to deal with all kinds of things over here. But it'll be fun. It'll be interesting.
All right. Well, we'll see you around the conference then.
All right, bye.
So, Mitch, you were saying about your talk.
Yeah, so just having all these people who had common experiences with their running their own business, and then all these people who are having jobs that they don't like and coming up to me and saying, I really want to quit my job, but I'm afraid. And then hearing someone talk about their experiences and succeeding, and other people gather around, and suddenly there's a whole group of people encouraging one another to really do what they really want to do. And that was my experience in my first hacker conference, which was Hope 6, was meeting so many people encouraging me to take my next steps for making new projects, and it changed my life forever. And I mean, I'm part of the hacker scene ever since.
That's 4 years, right? That's only four years since Hope 6?
4 years, yeah. It's like since so much experience in those 4 years, and but yeah, like you were saying, that's why I come to these, is to meet with people and the community, be a part of the community.
Yeah.
The talks are amazing too, and all the workshops and the art and all of it put together, and everyone's away from their day-to-day lives for whatever reason, and it's a magical bonding experience.
I agree.
It really is. I'm bumping into people here that the last time I saw them was 2 years ago at the Last Hope, or you know, even further back than that. And it's like no time has passed at all. We just pick up where we left off, and you know, people are into the same sort of projects and misadventures. And it's really like coming back to camp, or it's like coming home again.
Yeah. Now, Junes, we never hear from you.
Yeah, there's a reason. I don't have to be on the radio.
But you're on the radio now, or at least the radio Statler. So tell us something interesting.
Oh, well, I've been coming to Hope for a long time, but my experience at Hope is really, I sit at registration the whole time. But Hope for me is getting to meet almost everyone that walks in the door and kind of talking to people and seeing that, and with breaks in between to see you know, some cool talk, or go ride a Segway, or learn how to solder, that kind of stuff. So I have a lot of fun, but I think it's a little different experience for me. One of these years, I'm determined to just come as a volunteer, or as an attendee, and not do anything but attend. But that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, Junes was actually surprised to learn that there was stuff going on up those stairs.
Yeah. But the first thing people see when they come into the conference is Junes' smiling face.
That's true, for better or worse.
That's what I remember from my first time, and then Mike's dour face.
Yeah, someone has to say no to people who actually aren't supposed to be let in. But Junes is here to let everybody who is supposed to be let in.
Yes,
feel better.
If you're let in, come to me. If you're not, go to Mike.
So Voltaire just walked in. Why don't you say hi?
Yes, hello. And we also have another guest coming. Not Kevin is not coming. But he will be coming soon, but he's going out for a smoke. Which he doesn't recommend for you people that haven't started yet.
Thank you,
not
Kevin.
Not an endorsement. What is he smoking?
Does he
talk about anything?
There's no FCC, we can say the
smoking,
fuck word.
Tobacco, but.
Okay.
But you never know. How's the conference been for you so far? What's the
pretty experience? Awesome.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Walking around, not getting to as many talks as I'd like to, but I end up seeing very few talks at conferences generally, and was downloading them all like a couple of days afterwards. So.
Have you at least been meeting people, making connections, stuff like that? Yeah.
What about different workshops and projects? What have you been involved with?
I've been looking at all the hackerspace villages. It's they're kind of interspersed with the soldering stations.
Yeah, hardware hacking area.
So, yeah. So
which I set up, by the way.
It set up pretty well. It's it was interesting. Last time they had like the villages had like their own huts or whatever, and so it's different this time.
Oh, is this on? Oh, I guess I'm not hearing myself, but yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff going on in the Hackerspace Village with these hackerspaces. I'm going to put in a plug for The Hactory, which is a hackerspace in Philadelphia. One of our resident artists and instructors, Brad Litwin, is a sculptor and inventor, and he's brought some amazing kinetic sculptures. Have anybody seen these things?
So amazing.
I have to look at that.
They're so beautiful.
They're just these moving things. One has a series of... it looks like bicycles, but just only legs on them, pedaling around this Mobius loop kind of thing that undulates. And another thing has marbles moving around the circular, like the planet Saturn. They're moving around, but they're just they just have perfect gravitational equilibrium. They just make it over the rim as they rotate. You have to see these things, but if you go to bradlitwin.com, it's amazing. But so much stuff going on.
Does it also provide infinite energy?
No, it's actually powered by a couple of AA batteries, but it's
but they're underneath the booth, so you can't tell.
Yeah, it looks like perpetual motion. It goes up and then goes down, and it's so many hills. But there's hackerspaces from all over the world represented in the Hackerspace Village, and all of these people who I've heard of through hackerspaces.org, now I get to meet in person, and everyone's meeting one another. One of the cool things with Hackerspace Movement is all these different hackerspaces. Well, they're all different, they're all unique, but we all help one another in so many ways. So Noisebridge, the hackerspace that I helped start in San Francisco, is represented here by many of us. And there's people as far-flung as Vienna from MetaLab, and many Germans from various CCC, Chaos Computer Club people.
I'm hearing a lot of German speaking going on here.
Yeah, German, and there's French people as well. And
are the Italians here?
There's even Southern accents. Yes, there's Italians.
There are Italians.
And there seems to be a shortage of Dutch people, though. So,
yes,
what's up with that?
It's Dutch elm disease, or Dutch hacker disease. Hmm. I don't know.
No, I was with some Dutch people in Bordeaux last week.
Yeah, but they're not in New York today.
They said they weren't coming, all of them.
What did you tell them?
I told them, please come.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I've talked...
Maybe because you said it in English that they didn't come.
Last-minute schedule changes.
Je n'ai pas parlé français. I'm also losing my voice like I do every conference. But, I've taught... Me and several volunteers, we've all been teaching, I don't know, maybe 250 people to solder so far. Lots of cool blinky lights and brain machines, and, of course, the ever-popular TV Be Gone. A lot of TVs have been going off in this neighborhood.
This year with the badges, we have these... Open Beacon badges again, but they also have pads that you can solder on USB port and FTDI chip to be able to reprogram them. Have a lot of people been taking advantage of that? Have they been doing cool stuff with it?
Yeah, well, I don't know what people have been doing, because I've been mostly hanging out with the Hackerspace Village and the hardware hacking area that's all intertwined there. So I don't know what people do when they go off. We're going to find out more about that. But the HOPE badges, for people who don't know, are these active... radio frequency identification thingies that transmit a unique identifier, and we're enticing people to give up as much as they can of their personal information on the web so that we can have a fun way for people to think about the privacy that's eroding in our interesting society that we choose to live in.
They function as readers too, right? Because I saw someone who had put the USB port on, and he was able to read also the IDs of surrounding badges.
Yeah, so it has a capability of reading as well as transmitting your ID. One of the main functions of it is that we have readers all around the conference, so everywhere everyone goes who opts in is being tracked in 3D space, so we know which bathroom they're going to when, what talks they're going to, which known hackers they're hanging out with. And but it can also be reprogrammed to receive. One of the things that just happened after I gave my talk, someone I know came up to me and says, "Let me see your badge." and he held his up to mine, and his blinked in a very odd way that it wasn't normally programmed to do, and he says, "Aha! Now I am you." So,
nice.
So he said he's going to try to get as many Mitches around the conference as possible.
Nice. Something we could definitely use in real life. Can you make that happen?
In 2 years, we'll have MitchCon with just you.
Yeah. So, what have you been doing, Rob?
I have just been running around and catching up with people. I haven't actually even made it to a talk yet, which is kind of a bummer, but. But I was up all night and the preceding day just meeting up and catching up with people, and I was sitting at the Hackerspace Village early this morning at about insane o'clock a.m. watching someone not only I think someone was actually desoldering things from their badge so they could use them for other things, but it was a lot of fun.
Now Rob, any question of what you've been doing is incomplete with the answer about all the wonderful artwork that I've seen all around the place.
Wow. that was by all the other artists who are represented here, but I have some stuff too.
Yeah, really nice things.
Yeah, but Gray and I have done some nice design art for about the place. You'll see them on the directional signs scattered about, and some nice cityscapes behind the speakers. And we whipped up what we could, and I think we're happy with the result.
Yeah, some
really
last
beautiful
minute things too, right?
I'm sorry?
Some last-minute things.
Yeah, some last-minute things. There was something else we were doing that kind of got trashed at the last minute, and we had to replace it. But I don't think we're disappointed with the result.
Not at all.
And
I love the Zeppelins in the speaker rooms.
Yes, that was all Gray.
Well, tell her I love them.
Several artists I noticed brought some interesting pieces, some really beautiful work. All kinds of media, you know, sculpture, painting, video projections, just really creative stuff that if you look at this, it just gets your creative, makes you think outside the box and your creative juices flow. And I just love that there's so many creative people.
Yeah, actually not too far from here, there's a tent set up where somebody has a portrait of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. done with electroluminescent wire, which the eyes blink and the mouth moves in sync with a recording of his speech. And it's actually kind of a really cool thing to look at.
You know, I saw that tent and I just assumed there was someone sleeping in it, but apparently it was Martin Luther King.
Who knew?
Wow, does this mean people can call us?
I think so.
Hey, we can try to take listener calls at area code 212-888-9033. Again, call before midnight tonight. Area code 212.
A little sooner than that, I would hope.
Call like right now. Area code 212-888-9033. Be interesting to see who's listening. I hear a phone ringing. Who would that be? We don't have any control over the phones in here.
We're in this very dark makeshift studio here in the Hotel Pennsylvania.
The only light is blinking. It's a little bit
We're surrounded
bright.
By extruded polystyrene insulation board.
And this is actually, I'm led to believe this is actually on a webcam somewhere on something called Ustream. So, you know, you can see us and our great faces for radio.
Hi, Mom. So, there's some interesting news that people have been telling me. I didn't read this firsthand, but several people told me, so I assume it's getting around the interwebs. Oklahoma evidently is trying to make it illegal for people to enjoy blinking lights.
Oh.
Yeah, evidently too many people are getting high on binaural beats and brainwave frequency lights.
Wait, you're not making this up.
People told me
this. It was just
this.
Audio, I think it was.
Just audio? Just
yeah,
neural beats?
They've had this moral panic story going on for, like, every couple of years it'll come up in the news.
Yeah, so, and it's not about any negative effects, it's just that people are enjoying it. That seems to be the problem in Oklahoma.
Because people will market it as, like, the same effects that you get from heroin or something like that. So they'll market it as the heroin soundtrack or something. And they'll sell it to you for $8 for, like, this stupid MP3 that doesn't do anything. And the legislators are just playing into the pseudoscience. Yes.
Oklahoma, yeah. Okay.
This reminds me of something that happened back. Mitch, you might remember this. Back in the 60s, there was some serious legislation pending before Congress to ban the... basically, people worried about people smoking bananas. Remember?
Oh, yeah,
they're peeling
banana peels.
Or the, like,
or
the little
Coke
string
and,
things that you peel out.
Coke
and
aspirin.
And there was serious legislation pending before Congress to require that all bananas imported in this country, and we don't grow them here, so they're all imported, would have to be pre-peeled and wrapped in cellophane. You could think that would really work well because our children could be smoking the banana peels. This sounds like very similar kind of mindset, trying to ban certain kind of sounds.
And doesn't smoking, but it doesn't actually do anything. It
no.
was just, yeah.
No, smoking just bananas is just stupid. It doesn't
it makes
do anything.
You cough.
Yeah, people from the student movements actually put out that rumor just for the absurdity of it to see what would happen.
Oh, so that was a spoof. There wasn't actually resolution. Okay.
Yeah, it's right up there with banning dihydrogen monoxide.
Right. It's dangerous stuff.
It's in every
everywhere.
That stuff is terrifying.
Yeah, so, but a lot of people have been, would be breaking the law if these people in Oklahoma get their way here at Hope by making their own brain machines and trying them out, even if they're not making them.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of hard to enforce, though, right? I mean, how are you gonna catch someone and prove it? Oh, no, I mean, it's just illegal to sell it?
Yeah, well, they'll give them a lie detector test and they'll say, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, if you don't enjoy it, it's legal, but if you do enjoy it, it's illegal?
I presume that's the case.
Not Kevin is joining us in the studio.
All right.
How many hours have you slept?
Three.
In how many days?
Three.
Four.
Three, four, shut the door.
Yeah, there's just serious lack of sleep going around in here, but Not Kevin might have had the most serious not sleep.
I win. Awesome. What do I win?
A yak t-shirt.
You win another day of not sleeping.
Yeah, there. Somebody wrote on the inside of the door to this makeshift studio, warning normalcy ahead.
The idea being that when you leave the studio, but I don't think Hope is exactly normal. So
I think that's false advertising.
Yeah, I have to say, because Tech Darko, who's part of it, just walked in the room. This shed, I'm kind of impressed that anyone can build a shed in like 0 hours.
Yeah. It reminds me of a clubhouse I had when I was a kid. It's perfect. You know, it's just nice
when
and cozy.
A bunch of us, we set this whole mess up with the help of a lot of amazing people. Thursday at noon, we walk in here and it's totally empty. And now it's totally transformed in this makeshift, I don't know, makeshift crazy...
Hacker conference.
Shantytown.
Called it a fire hazard last time.
We're going to point at not Kevin until he learns about radio. Microphones.
I could have told you that.
Oh. Thanks, Dad.
Your mom's here. We can find her.
Yeah. That's so cool. Voltaire's mom's here, too. I met her first time.
Your mom is very nice.
She's so nice. She's so nice.
Tech Darko just told me he's going to try to set it up so we can accept callers.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to click a phone icon to put them on air and an X to hang up on.
Has anyone called yet?
Yes, we have two people on hold.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow. Let's do that.
We never take calls.
I guess we're not on webcam anymore because the webcam just went away. Good.
But Darko might be on webcam, so you can watch him help us.
That's good. That's probably more entertaining.
Probably is.
We can pick our noses again.
Don't tell the audience.
Yeah, we're actually all naked
right
now.
I hope we don't get the guy who says we should go to China. I'm really concerned.
Or Cuba. Well,
whichever.
I saw Rebel here. Rebel might just try pounding on the door.
He might try to call. Hopefully nobody told him we're doing a show.
I think you should go to Cuba. It's very nice.
I'd love to go to Cuba.
Someone's calling. Okay. Are you?
The next caller?
Are we really? Did you just say something true? Person in my ear?
Okay.
Hey, do we have a caller on the air?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Oh, it's Rebel. Is it Rebel?
Yes, all right. See, this is why we need the X. We were promised an X button, but then the laptop got taken away.
Now we can't hang up on you. We are so screwed.
I like to demonstrate. Tomorrow I'm going to be demonstrating at 8 o'clock tomorrow in one of the rooms. We're going to be demonstrating voicemail systems at that site.
All right, we got the laptop back.
Wait, real quick. We'll give you a little bit of say since we don't have a... We have a little more time than normal, Rebel. What will you be speaking about tomorrow, and at what time?
It's at 8 o'clock at the Flash Talk, the talk where you get 5 minutes.
Wait, you got lightning round. So, no, speak more slowly. So after the keynote tomorrow, you'll be giving a 5-minute talk about what topic?
It's at 8 p.m. I'll be giving a talk on voicemail systems and how you can, avoid... When you press 0, it says, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you press. I'm just giving just quick talk about how that works and how you can get around things.
All right, so people, Rebel fans, whatever, you, now you know what to do.
Did I hit the wrong one?
You killed the other guy.
I'm sorry, other guy, call back.
Oh, you hung up on both.
What? We hung up on people accidentally, so feel free to call back.
You should have said goodbye.
We're so sorry. What's the Red Hack, do you have the phone number?
212-888-9033.
Entry code 1.
Here's somebody. Hello, okay. Caller.
Well, we have to press the button.
I have to, what button?
I don't know, but some button.
Oh, it's just unknown.
Oh, I see.
We're radio professionals.
All right.
So they pick up the phone?
We have hacked together a radio studio here, and...
hey, Tech Darko, would you mind explaining how the system works here with these calls and how... This is pretty interesting.
We actually have a guy on staff. His name's Nick Soft, and he's actually a VoIP developer, and thank God we have him. He actually built us our own talk show system for the event. We had a few problems at first, mainly from the fact that... our Asterisk server decided to shit the bed on the sound card and would either give audio to the board or take audio from the board, but not one, but not both at the same time. So we actually have a second machine set up as a with a soft phone, and we're forwarding call. The system now forwards calls through there to put the audio on air. So
cool. As long as it works.
It works. Yeah.
Cool.
And so then when it comes in, it just.
My question, I guess, so what's happening now is someone called and someone else answers the phone and asks them their name before we talk to them?
Yeah, we've got...
This is more advanced than radio station WBAI.
Yeah, we
been on the air since 1960-something.
What happens is they call, one of the people out there picks it up, and we have a web page up that's in the Asterisk server. It lets us put in the first name, last name, whatever the hell we want to show you guys. We send it.
You can type in that one field under other whether they're a wanker or not.
Yes, so we could say this person is a bloody wanker. Pick up, make fun, and hang up.
If you're a bloody wanker and want to try that out, why don't you call us? We'll be happy to pull your winks. So 212-888-9033.
Yeah, and I want to thank Tech Darko and everybody else at Radio Statler for setting this up. And I also want to personally thank Tech Darko for helping us out for the social engineering panel, which is going to be happening tonight at 9 o'clock. We were really screwed because the phone patch, the hybrid phone patch we always use here, took a dump. It just died. And it was generating all this internal noise. But Tech Darko had this really ancient Gentner phone patch that he had in a rack, and we ripped it out of the rack.
Wait, not the country, Iraq, but no, but no, a 19-inch
set of rack.
Set of, yeah, okay.
And we tested it upstairs in the ballroom, and it worked. So thank you so much for saving the day.
Oh, you're very welcome. It may be an ancient Gettner, but actually it's still in common use at my university when it's not at Radio Statler.
So somebody can connect.
But that's what happens here at Hope. Stuff always goes wrong and breaks down.
Oh, yeah.
But there will be somebody here who not only knows how to fix the problem, but they can cobble together a solution with something they have on hand.
Let me tell you. So on Thursday, we had a delivery of Klumata, and the people may not know the term lift gate, but it's a thing that sticks out the back of a truck and goes up and down so you can get stuff from the truck to the ground. And theirs broke. And the lift gate that was delivering the Klumata. And they were like, we'll call our dispatcher. Maybe in a couple hours he'll send someone to fix it. Maybe not. We don't really know. But someone, a Hope attendee, was able to fix the lift gate truck that the people who drive the truck every day themselves don't know how to fix and get the Klumata delivered in no time at all. So people here are really smart, I guess, is the summary.
We actually, I brought some gear for the ham radio station upstairs, and my crossover cable for my remote mount on the radio wasn't working. And we actually were running around trying to find someone with a RJ12 or RJ11 that uses all six pins. And it's like, everyone's like, oh no, you know, we've got regular phone lines, but you know, nothing else. And finally we found out Rody, the guy from security who did all the LED signs, actually has a bunch of RJ12, an entire bag of RJ11 connectors, and a whole thing of phone line. It was just sitting around. He's like, oh, yeah, this is how they talk, so here. It's the amazing stuff people have.
It's so typical of what's going on here. So it's thousands of really innovative, creative, smart people, and whoever's listening who's not here should come here and be another one of these amazing, creative, smart people.
Registration's open till midnight.
Did this phone system turn into a person?
No, there's another one.
It's hard. I'm all the way on the other end.
So is there another all-night?
What's that?
Oh, we have a person. It says saying hi to Bernie. Who is that? Oh, it says Richard. Richard, I think,
hello.
Hello, is this Richard?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Richard. This is Bernie. It says, say hi to Bernie on the topic. Is that why you're calling?
Hello, Bernie.
Who is this?
It's Richard from Toronto.
Richard. Wow, we an international caller.
Are you in Toronto now, or are you at Hope?
I'm in Toronto right now. I did not get to make it this year, unfortunately.
What a shame.
Yeah, no, I'm flying to the Yukon tomorrow, so that's why I couldn't come.
Well, it's awesome that you called. And you've been to other Hopes?
Multiple ones.
Wow. So, but you just had another trip planned around and you couldn't come to this one, huh?
Yes, sir.
Great. Well, what has inspired you about previous Hopes that makes you a fan of this conference? Hello?
Hello, Richard?
Yeah. Are you still there, Richard?
Oh, we lost Richard.
Okay, well...
But if you can be the next person to be a line on our screen, 212-888-9033. And that's the number. It says phones on this piece of paper. I thought it was important, but it's just telling you that 212-888-9033 is, in fact, a phone number.
Enter code 1.
What's the pledge line?
So last night there was a lot of 8-bit and chiptune and incredible dance music. There were geeks were dancing. It was epic. And it was really wonderful. It went on till, 3 in the morning?
And again tonight.
So people can get in tonight for a $10 night fee?
We have wristbands for people who just want to come for the conference. Last year we did this too.
You mean
Concert. Okay. This is why I'm not on the radio. we have wristbands for $10 that'll get you in from 10 p.m. till dawn on the second floor. Dawn being an arbitrary time after the sun comes up. And
I think 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's what we decided, but who knows what's going
on. Although, honestly, it should really be 8 because then we'd be there so that they could upgrade to their real badge when they decide how awesome it is.
See, those are the things we think of on the...
On the last day.
But yeah, so if you don't want to come for the whole thing or you don't have time, just come show up at night and hang out with a bunch of cool people.
And enjoy some tunes.
And it was, as Mitch pointed out, it was a really awesome concert that went on for hours. These are people that have typically taken a lot of old video games, you know, some of them decades old, and modified them to make musical instruments and also electronic visuals, and it's just really amazing performances and music.
You know, it's also actually interesting. I have been to a few talks here, and one of them that I did stop into was the one about chiptunes. And I didn't really realize before that, you know, you have the people who do the music at these concerts. I've been to a couple of, 8-bit music concerts in the past. But the visuals, I always kind of thought it was just kind of something that was connected, you know, to the audio and just doing it. But there are actual people...
Performers
who are visualists. So you've got one person who's doing the music mixing with their two Nintendos or however they're doing it, and you've got another person who, whether it's via software they've written or also circuit bent stuff. They talked about one guy who has two Nintendos with knobs on the top, and it circuit bends the Nintendos. And you have a mixer and a monitor, and so they would do visuals, and you know, and that's a technique too, because you've got the music, you want your visuals to match the music, you want the kind of the beats to line up and stuff like that, and it was really cool. I just didn't realize that, and that was also going on last night. You know, that same thing was going on in the background while the concert was going, and we'll probably go on again tonight.
So. Oh yeah, it'll go on. It starts at, I think, 11 p.m. tonight, and as Red Hack pointed out, not only is there one visualist, there are two visualists, both Don Miller, who goes by the name No Carrier. That's like when you lose your carrier tin from DBS.
From Philadelphia, right?
That's right, from Philly. And also from Philadelphia, Will Lindsay, also known as V-Blank. Those guys build some really amazing equipment to generate just awesome visuals.
Do you know, they mentioned during the talk yesterday that the guy V-Blank actually sells a kit that kind of imitates what he does with normal audio. Do you know if he's selling those at the conference?
Yes, over at the table of The Hactory, Will Lindsay is selling his little kit. It's not very expensive, on how you can build these things to just make just amazing psychedelic video display stuff with this little circuit board and a few buttons. It's great stuff, but just to see what he's capable of doing with it with his own hands is amazing.
You need a display of some sort as well.
Yes, or you can just use a video output to a projector,
okay,
or an LCD, or a TV set, or whatever.
Most people have one of those somewhere in their house.
I don't think you have one, Len.
I don't, but most people do.
I do.
Yeah. Maybe if I were to buy one of these kits, you would lend me one of yours. But... very theoretical.
I realized who this person was who called in. It was Rich Henderson, our Canadian friend who often comes. The guy who called in earlier, Rich. So now I know who this guy was. And he said the voiceover IP quality was kind of lacking, but so that's what you get with voiceover IP.
But even if your name is not Rich, both of our callers so far have been rich of one sort or another, not necessarily wealthy, but the number's 212-888-9033.
At the same time, though, I mean, you know, it is difficult, right, to get an actual landline these days. To get one run for an event is quite the feat.
Yeah, we did it this year, but we tried to get both a POTS line, a voiceover, the regular plain old telephone line, as we always do for the social engineering panel, and it is .RET. Yay!
That was a very... So we got a POTS line and .RET.
But we also got ADSL, this business-grade ADSL from Verizon put on that line. But,
sounds expensive.
But it was. But then they, I don't know how much it was, but a few hundred dollars. But then Verizon decided to deprovision it on Friday, so we couldn't use it. We were going to use it as a backup for various things. But anyhow, but at least we have dial tone, and we're going to be doing the social engineering panel with it at 9 o'clock tonight.
So it's nice to see that Verizon is continuing their proud hope tradition of screwing things up at the last minute.
I think they do it on purpose.
The devil you say.
We've also had, we've had a bunch of speakers to talk about. Did anyone, I know I caught one keynote. I don't know if anyone caught the other one. I caught the WikiLeaks one today, which is kind of interesting because I didn't, no one kind of knew what was going to happen until the very last minute. And there being someone from NoiseBridge who presented on behalf of Julian. But that was actually a really, really good presentation. I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, well, Jake's a really good presenter. Jake and me are the co-founders of NoiseBridge. He actually told me beforehand, but he would have killed me.
You were the only one who knew.
So, because Julian, for obvious reasons, is kind of reluctant to come into the country with so many people in various TLAs, departments with TLAs, interested in him.
But Jake Applebaum is, as Mitch was just saying, he's one of the key people, developers for WikiLeaks. He's one of the volunteers?
Yeah, he's a volunteer with WikiLeaks. His main thing is Tor project.
Right. Which people who aren't listening allows, among other things, for people to... It's a platform through which people can... or a tool through which people can submit leaked documents to WikiLeaks anonymously. Right. But there's so much infrastructure stuff that goes on, and Jake did a lot of talking about that, which most people don't really get to hear behind the scenes... architecture development going on at WikiLeaks. So that was kind of revelatory, and he explained why things were down a little bit. It was for privacy concerns, and he explained all the stuff that's coming up soon on WikiLeaks, so it's worth really checking out. Does anybody have those URLs that he talked about? Take a picture with their camera phone?
Sunshinepress.org?
That's it, yeah. Sunshinepress.org.
There was a Tor URL too, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
So sunshinepress.org is a place where people can at least temporarily submit. There's like a valid SSL certificate, and people can truly go ahead.
I was just going to say, though, if you're actually concerned and you have private things, I would make sure to get more information ahead of time. He presented the hashes of the certificates and the fingerprints and all that, and if you do have something sensitive, they want to protect you, and so. Just make sure you have all the information on how to submit it before you go ahead and do it, just to make sure that nobody who might come after you should you reveal secret information.
And don't talk to random people you read about on the internet.
Don't brag about it. If you're doing this for the greater good, which we respect, it's best not to brag, because that will only end up with you in hot water, as we've seen, allegedly anyway.
Or at least don't brag to people who really like attention.
Right, that works too.
Or people you don't know.
Hey, .Red, take a mic.
It's a bit hefty.
I'm not available.
I don't know why you don't want that mic.
What have you been doing at the conference that's noteworthy to you?
He's been coughing.
Losing his voice. Read the number first. Phone, 212-888-9033.
Yeah, and then you can call and talk to us.
Really?
Goes.
That's working now.
Okay. You sound like you're losing your voice.
I have been awake for most of the conference. I've spent most of my time around Radio Statler. Let me try that, actually.
He's swilling down some Club Monte.
Now my voice sounds much better.
So we were just handed the Onion URL for WikiLeaks, If you trust the people who handed it to us, it's SUW74IS7WQZKMGU.onion, and you can look up Tor, T-O-R, to figure out how to visit that that long string
the,
I just read
onion
to.
Router, right?
That's right, the onion router is what Tor stands for. And that will enable you to visit this, visit WikiLeaks in such a way that neither you nor WikiLeaks knows where the other one is, which might be helpful. It's totally encrypted, totally private. If you don't have Tor or whatever, you can go to sunshinepress.org.
And the URL serves as also to give it some encryption information so that you're verifiably connecting to WikiLeaks and not to some imposter service.
That's right. It's more secure, the first thing, but harder to remember. I don't really want to read it again.
Yeah, well,
maybe Mitch can.
Yeah,
he's got a nice
since
voice.
That just went through probably one ear to the other.
Pens and pencils ready.
Yeah, I'll read that again if you're interested. SUW74IS27WQZKMGU.onion.
That might be a C. Or
ISZ. Oh, dear. I think it's a Z. SUW74ISZ. 7WQ2KMGU.onion.
It's amazing. That's the same password I have on my luggage.
There should be some photos of that posted online shortly, I believe, because Nick Applebaum encouraged everybody in the audience of hundreds to take a picture of that screen that was behind him.
So if you're sufficiently paranoid, the thing to do, and you may have reason to be paranoid, the thing to do would be to get this information from multiple independent sources, us and maybe some photographs and whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's really important that this service exists because, as we know, the lapdog media of our country really doesn't give the information that we need to be informed citizens.
Talking about independent verifiable sources, have we seen the has anybody seen the talk about PGP this morning, or was it yesterday?
No, I missed it.
Okay, yeah, they had an interest. They had like a new website that was up that had almost like a social network for PGP keys. I don't remember the URL offhand, though, but that was interesting.
Is this the one last night?
Yeah.
The Monkey Sphere.
Yeah, about the monkeys.
Monkeysphere.info is their website.
Okay.
And they're good people, the ones running it.
Yeah.
It was last night, Friday. Rob T. Firefly is looking at the schedule, but for today, not for yesterday.
How do I turn pages?
All right. It was last night, though. It's called Monkey Sphere. The Monkey Sphere.
Monkeysphere.info.
Monkeysphere.info for info on the Monkey Sphere.
Yeah, and, yes. Well, we're about to hear from a very tired person before we're cut off by that long string of letters. So what did you see of note through your tired brain?
Well, most of the talks that I've seen have been streamed through the computer screen at Radio Statler. I haven't physically attended a single talk yet.
Oh, well, what have you been doing, just hanging out at Radio Statler?
A lot of it. Other times I've been over helping out the Club Mate. Yeah, you know that stuff?
Yeah,
it's selling crazy.
Yeah, well, it's
they can't
wait,
manage enough.
Wait, if Dart Rat and Not Kevin are both in here, who's selling the Club Mate?
Hello.
David is.
David, okay. I don't know David, but I'm sure he's...
David,
I don't know David
and,
either.
No.
All right.
He's a very polite British gentleman wearing a suit.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
oh, that David.
Yes.
David Dolphin. I've never called him by his first name, and he's Irish, not British.
Oh, I'm sorry. He would really hit me if I said that. But he doesn't seem like a violent person, though.
Oh, give him a drink.
Uh-oh. I'll have to go apologize to him right now.
Lock the door.
Something else going on here is that the people from March, the Mid-Atlantic Retro Computing Hobbyist Group in New Jersey, brought an amazing display of numerous... ancient personal, well, not ancient, but personal computers from the 70s. Just really amazing stuff, and some old video games from decades ago. In fact, I even donated a Coleco Telstar Alpha from 1977 that I rescued from the trash and restored and got working. Do you remember that one, Rob? The Telstar Alpha?
I'm as old as that one.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff over there older than you, too. And me.
I saw someone carrying a K-Pro this morning, which was the first computer I ever used.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, there's a K-Pro 2 over there. A lot of great stuff.
Was that before the ColecoVision?
Yes, the ColecoVision came later. The Telstar Alpha was the first series of video games he put out using a General Instruments chip. And all he did was play like Pong and a couple of variations of Pong. But people can go over there right now and play it, if you're at Hope. Play a video game that's probably older than you.
Are they here through tomorrow or just today?
No, just today, because it's very expensive bringing all this stuff, and they don't have any place to put it or whatever. But they're going to be here all day till at least a few more hours. So especially if you're at Hope right now, go over to this March tables if you haven't been yet, because it's cool stuff.
And if you're not at Hope, but you're in New York, if you hurry fast enough, you just might make it. You can register, come on up, and even play.
It'll be worth it for the registration class. What any PDPs?
No, actually, that's a good question. One of their people, Mike Ross, was going to bring some mini computers. Somebody was going to bring in actually a VAX 11780. A massive. Mitch is laughing because he knows what that machine is. Sounds like a jet engine. but we only knew he wanted to bring this to like 3 days before the conference. So, and it needs like 220 volts, three phase power, and we couldn't swing the special power, like the 20 amps, special power requirements just in time to do that. So, and there's some other big machines he wanted, like huge, they call this big iron computers, but that we couldn't meet his power requirements which on short notice. But next time, we sure can.
Basically, if we plugged it in, Manhattan would suddenly dim. We should mention, I heard something about the panels being an hour behind schedule. What happened with that?
In two rooms, I think, in Bell and in
I'm gonna guess Rambam has to do with
that. No. It was due to it may have been a scheduling error on our part that we scheduled talks in some of the smaller rooms during the second half of the keynote time. But those rooms were being used for keynote overflow, so those talks never got to start on time. So it's not Steve Rambam's fault. Don't blame him for something that's not his fault. He knows where you live.
So I suspect that means that after Rambam, the talk will be 2 hours behind.
Well, no, maybe they'll just be in all, because Steve Rambam, who's giving a talk right now as we speak, called "Privacy is Dead, Get Over It." He's in the room Tesla. So it's possible that if he goes over, he's got 3 hours. So if he goes over, really enough. But yeah, but if he does go over, then all three rooms could be behind schedule. That would be something.
And I understand, Steve. I was talking with Steve earlier today. Mike, you might know about this. He has a table down here. Is that right? Emmanuel supposedly set him up with a table down here in the mezzanine level to talk to people after his talk. Is that right?
I know he's entitled to one. I know he's not there now because he's upstairs.
Right,
now,
right. But after his 3-hour talk, if you want to speak with him, and I think he has some stuff to give away. He wanted to show some applications, whatever. So you can come down to the hardware hacking. Where exactly is it going to be, in the vendor area?
I think so, the vendor area. Which is if you are at the conference and don't know where it is already, just come up the escalator. You'll see it.
Okay.
Make a right.
And if there's any doubt, go to the disinfo desk. And they will tell you where to go.
Or they'll tell you everywhere not to go, and by process of elimination, you'll be all set.
I think I should mention, though, so since a lot of people who might look at the previous schedules might say, oh my, he's giving the same talk over and over again, it's just the same name, but the content isn't always exactly the same.
No, it actually
it's
is the same talk.
He's topic.
He's actually still giving the talk from Last Hope. He just didn't stop, and
we
opened the door again.
Yeah, everyone just loves it so much. Encore!
He's been talking for 2 hours straight. We just turned off his microphone and camera.
He's still talking from 2 years ago. He hasn't stopped yet.
But what's interesting is that the technologies have changed a lot, and just in the past years, the social network technologies have just gone all over the place.
So I don't know if I'm jumping the gun a little, because he showed this to us on Wednesday, but I assume that since he's in the middle of his talk, we can probably talk about it. He has an application that he wants to release or something, which obviously costs money, so it's great for him. Where you can basically look up anybody's info, given some amount of information about them. And so that's kind of crazy, because the fact that it's so easy to be able to get, someone's criminal record and what, they're registered to vote as, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, by just typing their name and maybe a zip code or something into an app is pretty crazy.
Didn't he say he's going to offer it for free as an iPhone app or something?
I think only the first search would be for free, otherwise it would be like maybe a dollar or two or something.
We don't know. You're going to have to ask him at the table.
Well, I mean, it's probably good if it costs money because you don't want everybody looking everybody up all the time. But, you know.
So our privacy is going to be dependent on whether you can afford
a dollar. Whether
somebody can afford to spend a dollar or two to look you up.
So we've only got a few minutes left. So if you want to call us, now's the time. 212-888-9033. And you'll turn into a screensaver or something. No. 212-888-9033 is our phone number. Just a few minutes left. If you're thinking of giving us a call, do it now.
And this is not over the air, so you can say bad words at us.
You can curse at us all you want, and but we can hang up on you whenever you want to.
No takers. All right.
212-888-9033.
It would be funny if we've been giving out the wrong number and some poor person in New York is getting a bunch of...
Well, Rebel reached us, so something's hooked up correctly or incorrectly or something.
Rebel's been here all weekend. He's really enjoying the conference. And you know, a lot of people have asked me, like Ed Piskor, our resident hacker cartoonist, is here. He also designed the amateur radio QSL cards for the station here. He wanted to meet Rebel. So I'm going to introduce them later tonight, and my guess is that Ed Piskor wants to use this as material and caricature Rebel in a future cartoon.
Were you at Ed's talk?
No, I couldn't catch it because I was tied up with something. Was it good?
No, I was caught up as well.
I'm definitely going to have to catch the recording of that one.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy, and he also has his table here. So if you want to check out his comic and meet him and ask him about it, go check it out.
Yeah,
Bernie S is in the comic, right? Aren't you in the comic?
Well, actually, the main character Kevin is an amalgamation of several characters. But he does refer to a Bernie in Philadelphia in one of the strips, and it was that kind of blew my mind when actually Jim pointed that out to me. I was visiting Jim in Queens about a year or so ago, and Jim pointed out the strip to me, and I was just blown away. It's like, who is this guy that's writing about me and putting me in a cartoon? And then I met him at Nauticon last year in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yo. And then we just hit it off. We're just really good friends. So, great guy.
Yeah, and great comic, too. It's his, in a nutshell, portrayal of early hacker scene bringing up to the point of Kevin Mitnick's arrest, fictitiously, but very well researched.
Yeah, he really, he listened to, like, hundreds and hundreds of hours of Off the Hook as raw material for this series of graphic novels, so anybody that's willing to do that,
And he's actually a great writer and artist in his own right. You know, beyond the fact that it's our subject matter, it's just a real pleasure to read his work. I mean, he's a professional comics artist. He's worked with legends like the late Harvey Pekar, who just recently passed away, and he's just a great guy, a really talented gentleman, and it's great to be some sort of inspiration to what he does.
Yeah, and he's all self-published.
We got a 2-minute warning. Anybody want to say
This is so weird. We have this guy in our head. And normally when we're in WBI, like, other people just barge into the studio, and that's how we know we're done. So this is very professional. I'm impressed.
Oh, don't worry. We've done that, too.
wait a minute. Yeah. So you're hearing the voices, too?
Yes.
Good. Well, we're going to say good night, but we hope to see you in person. Yeah, I just want to say, everybody, I hope everybody who's listening, I can meet in person when I step out of this extruded polystyrene insulation board room.
Yeah, so...
Why don't we play the closing music now that we don't have any copyright?
We don't have a closing music. We got the opening music. They'll have to live with that. Yeah,
closing music is always different anyway.
Yeah, the closing.
They have music. There's people out there with music, musicking.
My guess is they're going to put something on after us anyway, some kind of music. So we have like. What, 60 seconds?
I don't have a clue. We don't have a clock. It's the one thing we don't have.
I have an accurate radio watch. Sorry, how many minutes?
60 seconds.
Okay, that's right. Actually, it's 54 seconds.
Are you going to argue with the voice in our ears? Because he'll win. He's got the controls, too.
Any closing thoughts?
Yeah,
so. I'm having a blast. I'm not getting much sleep, but it's worth it because this is an amazing conference every 2 years.
Yeah, and if you ever have a chance to go to any hacker conference, this one or any other, it's well worth going out of your way just to experience the community. We really need community in our lives to thrive, and this is just one example of how we as geeks come together to make it happen.
Yeah, and just a huge thank you to everyone.